Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And a disclaimer, as we are recording this, the eclipse is happening. My internet is glitchy. And so we're just going to keep our fingers crossed that everything goes well because we want to have such a fantastic conversation today. So please join me in welcoming Annalise Keyrose Wolf to our program today. Welcome, Annalisa. How are you doing?
Fantastic on this eclipse day. Thank you so much, Deb, for having me.
Perfect. I love it. Well, let me tell people a little bit about you and then we will jump into this because this is going to be one of those discussions that I think is one of the most important that we need to have and that I hope everybody will share with others. So now that we've had a real good teaser on that, let me tell people a little about you. So a former nonprofit CEO and U.S. Air Force captain, thank you so much for your service. Annalisa Keyrose Wolf is a seasoned certified executive coach and CEO of Women of Color Rise, an equity-based coaching firm focused on diverse leaders. She coaches social entrepreneurs, C-suite leaders, and CEOs to build their organizations and expand their impact. Annalisa recently published The Myths of Success, A Woman of Color's Guide to Leadership. Drawing on research-based practices and stories from women leaders of color, her podcast, Women of Color Rise, the book empowers women of color to ascend to the C-suite. Annalisa leads an online Women of Color Rise Next Level Leadership course. Oh my gosh, Annalisa, we are going to have so much fun. So again, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I always like to know how it is that our guests got to where they are today. So tell us a little bit more about that.
So Deb, my parents immigrated from the Philippines to the United States. And so I'm a proud Filipina American, but I have to tell you that I wasn't always proud. I remember being young. I don't know if you read these books, the Sweet Valley High books with Elizabeth and Jessica, the blonde twins. And I dreamed of being blonde and blue-eyed and popular just like them. I mostly went to white schools. And I thought to myself, gosh darn, why do I have to be Filipina? I really wished I was more American. So it took me a while to grow into myself. And what I realized is that not going to great schools, we lived in a low-income neighborhood, and then having my mom bus us to a really good school. My brother is literally now an aerospace engineer, a rocket scientist.
Wow.
And then I ended up going to Stanford, Northwestern, Yale, to the Broad Center. And so I have all of these degrees, and I did not imagine that all of it really depended on how I saw myself. Mm-hmm. And so I served in the Air Force, like you mentioned. It was one of the best leadership training grounds. Then went on to do a Fulbright. So I went back to the Philippines to learn about my homeland. I did a study on prostitution. Mm-hmm. Deb, did you see that coming? So I studied prostitution, went to bars with women who look like me, who are on stage and not really dressed with anything. And I just realized how grateful I am to my parents who wanted more for me and that there really wasn't a difference between these women, these prostitutes on stage and me, and that I'd been given this gift. And so having this as I think that I've always felt like a coach, I'm the kind of person who would sit next to you, Deb, and say, what are you about? What do you want to do in life? What's your legacy? Mm-hmm. They're like, what's your name? And I was like, let's talk, let's get into like our souls. Mm-hmm. And so having this orientation through the military, business school, then starting school. So I spent 15 years in education trying to build those schools that I wish I'd had my brother and had growing up. I eventually became CEO. And then now I'm an executive coach because as CEO, when I was looking around at who the other leaders were, there certainly weren't people who were diverse, not women really, or not women of color. And I realized we needed support. And so that's how this ended up being the Women of Color Rise program. I really wanted people to know that we have to have a seat at the table because we are representing important groups and our voice matters and that we also matter.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love it. You know, and so much in there to start talking about. So I read your book and I loved it. And, you know, and for much of it, I did, for all of it, actually, I did think, okay, that applies to white women. But let's be honest, white women, in many cases, do have many more advantages than women of color. We might face the same situations, but I don't know, maybe it's just we've got a leg up, you know, because the numbers of white women in senior leadership CEO positions is higher, but it's still a struggle. And I think one of the first things that really struck me was the fact that we talk about the glass ceiling and how we need to break through it. But you talk about the concrete ceiling. So talk more about that, because that was my first big aha moment.
So Deb, the glass ceiling, many of us know that there is this ceiling that's hard for women to get past. It takes like extraordinary measures, sponsors, all of these other ways of defying gravity to bust through. And what makes this different, I want to bring you to a story, is I remember trying to find the next role and I wanted to work for a woman of color. Mm-hmm. And I was looking around and looking around and looking around and looking around. And I just could not even see women of color at these top roles. There's like Condoleezza Rice, right? There's just so few and far between. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I mean by the concrete ceiling. Mm-hmm. It's not just glass where I can see through it. And I'm like, oh, I got to get past it because I can see the vision. It's actually, I don't see it. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't see it, it never crossed my mind, Deb, that I could be it. And mm-hmm. it took a white male saying to me, mm-hmm. Annalisa, I know you're looking for the next mm-hmm. C-level position. Why aren't you looking to be CEO? And I was like, who? What are you? You're talking to me. I am talking mm-hmm. to you with your leadership in the military, all of the roles you've done. Mm-hmm. I mean, people have taken these roles more junior and less experienced than you. Right. I don't understand why you're not putting yourself up. Mm-hmm. And it was someone else seeing. Mm-hmm. The reflecting back to say you could do it, that I finally decided actually as part of the work, if I really want to help others, it means to model and to break through that ceiling. So that's the difference between the glass and concrete mm-hmm. ceiling.
Right. Yeah. Like you said, you can't even see anybody that's there. And we do, when we think about, you know, who are women leaders of color, it's an awfully short list. And, you know, and the whole DEI initiative. I mean, I'm sad and angry and annoyed and all of those things that we still even have to talk about this because we shouldn't. You know, it should be the best candidate. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, that's going to be a challenge. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, we have got to get more people of color in these leadership roles. Because it's just so important. So talk to us more about that. Why is it so important that our companies are made up of more diverse people?
So first, we want to talk about opportunity, equity, the American dream. Mm-hmm. Really mean it. We want everybody to be able to realize the American dream, right? Right. So just from that standpoint, mm-hmm. it, beyond the fuzzy-wuzzy patriotism, mm-hmm. it's really about company impact, mm-hmm. right? If we want the company to maximize revenues, mm-hmm. maximize impact on even a nonprofit mm-hmm. mission, we want everybody to deliver their best. Deb to deliver her best, Annalisa to deliver her best, all of us delivering our best. Mm-hmm. And when we don't have representation of really good ideas, they should be different, right? If you and mm-hmm. I were the same people coming up with the same ideas, I'm not sure that's going to bring the best innovation versus right. different ideas from our communities. Mm-hmm. I could bring some Filipina ideas. You could bring mm-hmm. your, you know, ideas from your background. Mm-hmm. And that makes much more richer, right. innovative, mm-hmm. money-making mm-hmm. ideas that actually deliver value for mm-hmm. all communities, including my community, who's willing to pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And be
right.
You know, helping mm-hmm. money. So like, this is good for everybody. And so mm-hmm. we're talking about baseline, bottom line, caring for people, but also mm-hmm. delivering on results.
Right. Well, and to put it in a term, you know, in a way where people might be able to understand it much better, it's, you know, I cannot develop marketing campaigns for male-oriented buyers, right? And of course, we've seen so many white male try to develop marketing campaigns for women, you know, color, white, you know, all of the above. And they have no idea how to reach us. They don't know what appeals to us. And so what happens is they pick things, you know, and fortunately we're getting past all of this, but you know, I remember where I would see ad campaigns and I'm thinking, seriously, that's what they think I would be interested in. And it was written by, you know, somebody who had absolutely no idea how to reach me. And so then, of course, I go, well, I ain't spending my money there, you know, because they don't understand me. And it's exactly what you're saying. If we want to increase our sales, which is what everybody really wants, right? We have to be able to reach people with the message that is going to reach them best.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, in two examples, CEO of Pepsi, when she was CEO, mm-hmm. she was evaluating a business opportunity, and she wasn't evaluating based on all of her accolades right. and experience. She took her personal experience as a mother and mm-hmm. said, what we need are 100 calorie drinks. Like mm-hmm. people are looking at calories mm-hmm. and let's go ahead and serve it up in that mm-hmm. size. And it made like millions and millions of dollars for everybody. And plus right. it had a need. Another example in health, Deb, is the idea of being at the table for women mm-hmm. and actually advocating that things like menstruation pads mm-hmm. and sanitary pads, those are not optional things mm-hmm. for us that are just right. that they could be covered mm-hmm. by insurance. And so who would advocate for that mm-hmm. if you didn't understand that these are, you know, basic needs? And so right. these are the kind of perspectives we need, and they're good for the companies and they're mm-hmm. also good for the health of society. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, and it's so funny because when we start talking about it, a lot of times it's like, well, duh, right? But the problem is that it's still not happening. You know, menstrual supply is a great example. We don't have a lot of that in education, in schools, you know, not a lot of education about it because, you know, people be, oh, that's still an embarrassing topic, right? You know, and I'm like, oh, for heaven's sakes. But yeah, it's, you know, how do we get that out there and realize that that's, you know, it's everyday life, you know, and so why aren't we talking about it and providing it? Just the same as, you know, talking about things that are more male oriented. You know, we've got to get past this, ooh, we can't talk about those subjects. But, you know, that's a totally different conversation, right? To be able to do that. But, you know, it is, you know, we don't have those role models. And, you know, I mentioned at the start that, you know, we're filming this the day of the eclipse. Well, yesterday was the NCAA women's basketball finals, right? And now I'm a huge college basketball fan. I don't know if you are, and you did go to Stanford. So, you know, they did have a pretty good team, right? And to see the fact that more people, you know, watched the playoffs than many other games. I mean, that's just fantastic. So that'll be interesting to see how it continues. But I really like seeing that the head coach who won was Dawn Staley. She is a woman of color. And, you know, and bless her. I mean, she was so overcome with emotion. She couldn't do the interviews to start with. I mean, it was just, and, you know, and I mean, everybody who, you know, it's totally understandable. I mean, that's the pinnacle. She had done, you know, and she'd done it before. I mean, you know, this is somebody, but then I saw negative comments. Mm. Oh my God, I can't believe she was crying. You know, and that just, and that actually is one of the points in your book, is that somehow we think we cannot show emotion and be a good leader. And of course, I looked at her doing that and I thought, how wonderful is that? Mm-hmm. But yeah, a lot of men, and even let's be honest, a lot of women were going, really? She can't get it together to stop crying. She was just so happy for those young women that they had done this, that it was incredible. But, you know, let's talk about that. Let's, you know, because, you know, like I said, it is in your book that we think we cannot show emotion. So, you know, let's talk about that myth.
Yeah, Deb, it so connects this idea of the double bind, mm-hmm. that we are damned if we do and damned mm-hmm. if we don't.
Right.
And when we think about leadership, right, if I were like mm-hmm. general of the military mm-hmm. or the Pope mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. the CEO of a company, I mean, the first face probably mm-hmm. most of them come up with is right. a white male, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. here he is looking all stoic. He's not, mm-hmm. you know,
standard,
mm-hmm. right? I'm a white male and that's how I talk and mm-hmm. I have no emotion. I've got mm-hmm. it in control. Declare war,
right?
Right? It's just like, okay, that's, mm-hmm. we will follow this person to the end. And so we see it in schools, history, our society. And so it's no wonder, right, that anything other than that
right.
must be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Female, person of color,
mm-hmm.
emotions,
mm-hmm.
being able to share personal, like a mm-hmm. mother and a menstrual mm-hmm. pad. So you're like, oh, that's gross, bad. And mm-hmm. you're something is wrong with you getting out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you share this example of a woman who won, I mean, good. What more
mm-hmm.
does she need to prove mm-hmm. that she's badass?
Mm-hmm.
It's still like, well, something is wrong with you because mm-hmm. you're not matching my profile, right. our profile of mm-hmm. what a leader is. Mm-hmm. A leader is stoic. Mm-hmm. Yes, get excited, but get it together mm-hmm. because that's what a leader does.
Mm-hmm.
And so that double bind, damned if you do, damned if you don't,
mm-hmm.
I am a leader. And mm-hmm. I need to, emotions are a bad thing mm-hmm. because it's like, if I show emotion, I am not going to show that I'm a strong leader. At the same time, mm-hmm. if I don't show emotion, mm-hmm. I'm not going to meet this model of good right. woman, right? Mm-hmm. A woman is like, Deb, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
How right. is your family? How's your stuff? How is your health? I mean, then it's like, okay, well, if I'm stoic, mm-hmm. I'm damned because I'm not emotional. Mm-hmm. And if I'm emotional, I'm damned
right.
because I'm too emotional mm-hmm. and I'm not a good leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so damned if you do, damned if you mm-hmm. don't. This is why women have a tough time leading, because
mm-hmm.
look at our candidates for president. You're just never good enough. Never
right.
stoked, mm-hmm. never emotional, not ever right mm-hmm. way. People are angry.
Mm-hmm.
It leads for really tough. Mm-hmm. It's no surprise then that mm-hmm. women of color have a hard time. Women have right. a hard time at those top right. positions.
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite female leaders was Queen Elizabeth. I loved her. I just thought that, you know, she did so many good things and you know, became a leader in her early 20s. So, oh my gosh, I can't imagine that. That was back when the monarchy was still really strong, you know, but, you know, she definitely had that British stiff upper lip, right? You know, you never show emotion. But I remember when they were showing the images from the funeral for her husband, the one tear that went down her cheek made her so human, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and to me, that was appropriate. It was appropriate for her. I mean, if she had, and I'm sure privately she cried. I mean, you know, we just know that. But if she'd broken down then, we might have thought, but it was appropriate for her. And I think that's the thing that we need to remember. And we are finally learning that it's okay to show emotions. You know, and it looks a little weird sometimes when there's some, especially a big tragedy, when you have a man who doesn't show emotion, you know, because it's like, really? This just happened and you're still being Mr. Stoic? At least sniffle a little bit, you know, but yeah, it's, and I think emotion really is, that is one of the biggest things, because I think, you know, we hear people all the time say, well, a woman cannot lead X, whether it's company, military, government, all those things, because she gets too emotional. But that is where we look at it. And I don't know, I could be, you know, I'm definitely drawing on the female perspective, right? I look at it and go, well, that does make them human. You know, and I don't care if it's a male or a female, color or not, when they show that emotion, and maybe I should add the word appropriate emotion. You know, and that's where I think we do. We go, wow, you know, they are human. They do feel. And because they feel, I think it does make them a better leader.
I want to talk about that, Deb, because myself, when I was leading the Charter Network, a nonprofit, during COVID, I guess it's still COVID, but let's say the height of COVID,
right.
And I remember during the Black Lives Matter movement, and there was a lot of Asian American hate. It still is happening, but you know, in a really public way. I was sharing with the community about how what we would do, our action steps forward. And I remember afterwards, the feedback was, okay, I'm clear on the plan, but I'm not sure you're feeling it. And I would say that it was fair feedback, right? I was following the be really clear, make sure that I am transparent, but I wasn't showing my heart. And I think that is, you know, when we are leaders, we need to show that we're affected too, as strong as we want to be, that it hurts us personally. Right. And it's a skill, right? How do we reveal the emotion, but also have people feel confident that we're going to move forward? And I think it's the vulnerability that allows people to trust us to say, you know, she is a human and she is someone who feels, and she feels with us. We're not alone.
Right.
So I want to just double click on your point that how do we share it? If I'd burst into tears and broke down and then ran off the Zoom, I mean, I think that's not helpful for our community. Right. But yeah, let's show some of it, and then also, you know, have the right balance of we can do this, we can pull through.
Right. Yeah, and I still remember, you know, when, you know, September 11th, and when they showed President Bush at that time getting the first notice. I mean, you could tell he was visibly upset. And then he went, okay, now we go forward. And to me, I think that, you know, politics aside, and I think President Obama was another great leader who, and again, politics aside, who could show appropriate emotion. And sometimes it was just the joy at seeing his daughters, or you knew how proud he was of his wife, you know, and things like that. And again, it's that emotion that makes us go, wow, they do get us.
Yeah, exactly. I think also we go more of an extreme example when you think about Oprah and how open she is. It's her power move, right? If you think about all the different leaders in media, she stands out because she's like, I'm going to put everything out there with my emotion. And so many people trust her. They're like, my best friend's of Oprah. She doesn't know about me, but we're best friends. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Because Oprah, you know, it's so we want to make sure that emotion is not a weakness. It's a power move. Mindful of how you share it. At the same time, know that that's what allows us to connect, build trust, and stay human. And because being a leader is really hard. Like we can be human. We can be all parts of ourselves as we lead.
Right. You know, and it is, you know, like I said, it's we're finally figuring out that it is appropriate to show that. When I worked back in corporate America, the company that I worked for went through some big layoffs. I mean, big. And initially, our CEO was very stoic. And people didn't like that. I mean, it was, and it was just, you know, he was delivering the message and that was it. But then he started walking around and talking to people. And then you could see how deeply it affected him that, you know, he was, you know, and that, you know, things that he was talking about were changing people's lives. You know, and so he did understand that. And I remember talking to him about the fact that, you know, when he, because that was my role, was I was in communication. So I was working with him on his messaging. I said, you've got to show that you understand, that you know what you're doing deeply affects people. And, you know, and he did. And it was just as simple as, you know, like a catch in his voice or even appropriate pauses, right? So that he wasn't just reading from the script that said, gee, we are so sorry that we are going to have to lay off X percentage of our workforce. You know, it was, but him going around, that was what really convinced people. Yeah, you know, he gets us. So he's, you know, and sometimes that is the thing, is we have to be strong at certain points, but showing weakness is a strength.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Showing our all sides, that we are sad and angry and joyous and scared, like all of those, and we will pull through. I did want to say to Deb, that another power move is bringing in the multi facets of our identity. as a mother, as a daughter, mm-hmm. as a sister, as someone who is struggling through, you know, some hard health crisis, a caregiver, mm-hmm. as part of your identity as someone from your culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that these are pieces where it helps invite and model for others that, right. oh, I can be that too. I can also be a soccer mom. I can mm-hmm. also be mm-hmm. someone who of faith. I can have these pieces, and that allows us then not mm-hmm. to hide and deliver more for the company, right? Because now I'm not, okay, only all I do is write emails, or all I do is write speeches. Actually, I bring all these parts of me, mm-hmm. and to have Obama as Obama or mm-hmm. Biden as Biden without mm-hmm. all the dimension that they bring, mm-hmm. it's really flat. Mm-hmm. So all those pieces make us strong.
Right. You know, and it is when we look at them and they're one dimensional, it's like, oi, really? And that happens everywhere. I mean, whether it's, maybe it's your church or, an organization, a volunteer organization, things like that. We do want to see that they are human beings, and because aside from anything else, it helps build loyalty, right? Because we're like, okay, he, she, or they do understand. And, and so I'm going to do what I can to help them.
Absolutely. It's so much more than I am a one-dimensional brain.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I am a whole person, and mm-hmm. you can be too. I love mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. And the nice thing is the white males are getting that too. They're finally understanding that it's okay to show that more feminine side, to really show that they get it. They understand. Because in the end, it is about loyalty, right? We can take our little ducks and go elsewhere. We don't have to work for somebody. But when we see that they get us, then we're more likely to stay.
For sure. For sure. One of the myths, I want to bring that point about loyalty. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because it is often we have it, right? I'm a loyal person. I imagine you are too. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I had believed was my parents had served my dad in the Navy for mm-hmm. 22 years, my mm-hmm. mom like 30 years as a nurse. And I thought to myself, well, me too. I'm going to be loyal because the company will watch out for me. I'll be mm-hmm. successful. And yes, we're loyal and we want to be loyal. At the same time, we need to make sure we take care of ourselves. And right. we need to make sure we're getting the work we need, mm-hmm. the titles, the money. Mm-hmm. And that does not make us greedy. And so right. I just love that because it helps to, we want to balance loyalty mm-hmm. with watching out for ourselves, because frankly, who is, right, Deb? Right. Did you have someone who was like, let me guide Deb through her whole career and then write a plan and introduce her to all the people, right? I mean, Deb had to do that. That's how you made this happen.
Right.
And we need to trust in ourselves mm-hmm. so that we can have the impact we want to have.
Right. And it's interesting because you talk in your book, you've got 9 myths for women of color and then a 10th myth. That's really hard to say for organizations. you talk in the book about the fact that women don't toot our own horns. The other thing is I was reading through all of this, and this kind of pertains to a lot of this, is the fact that I think so many times when we are women and we're trying to get ahead, men are seen as being, that's a good thing, to promote yourself, to say, hey, I did this. Little boys are always running around saying, I'm number one, right? All these things. And women, in so many cases, it comes across as being the B word, right? And it's not. It's as you said, it's standing up for ourselves. It's saying, wait a minute, I did that work, or I know this, I deserve this promotion. All of those things. And it comes across as being, not that. And I think that's where sometimes it's a little tricky, because so then, of course, what we do is then we don't do it at all. Right. I think, it's interesting because we don't promote ourselves. We assume that because the world is good, other people will say, Annalisa did this. This is fabulous. Or I did this. This is great. But we just assume that they're going to know. And it's funny because you talk in the book about the fact that so many times we don't promote, we don't toot our own horns. And then when we ask why we didn't get that promotion, people were like, well, we didn't even know you'd done that.
I want to double click on that. That happened to me. I thought to myself, I'm doing three jobs. Deb, I'm doing three jobs. Right. I'm working nights, weekends, and I'm getting really good performance reviews. Obviously, when the promotion's like, who else would they pick? I got it lined up. And you know what? They did not pick me. And I thought, well, there's something wrong with me. And actually, there was nothing wrong with me, but I missed an important component, Deb. And that was that if no one knew about what I was doing, as awesome as it was, then it's almost like it didn't matter that I did. So, and my boss was like, oh, I had no idea. And I was like, And so now, yeah, you know, and this is the thing. I want to go back to your earlier point about what happens with boys and girls and why don't we do this, right? If you and I were hanging out and I said to you, hey, Deb, just wanted to let you know that I got this promotion. I have this new house. I have my kid got this chess championship and they're on these travel elite leagues. And here's all the, like, I'm not going to be popular. You'll say, Annalisa, cross her off. Like, I don't want to be friends with her. Who
Ooh, what a braggart.
Yeah. Like what a bragger and what a bee, right? Like I am. I cannot believe her. She is not my people. And that's natural, right? We're going to feel that way because who am I supposed to be? I'm supposed to be humble.
Right.
Hey, how are you, Annalisa? Oh, you know, busy. I'm just, you know, working. And
it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What can I do for you? Is there something? I'm nothing's happening in my world. I'm just working. And they would be like, okay, well, maybe she can be my friend. And so there's real consequence to saying I'm all that and all the things. And so I want to say that that conditioning starts very young.
Oh, it does. Yeah. We as little, now I'm a baby boomer. I'm old enough to be your mother, my dear. And we were really told, no, little girls do not brag about that. And then of course, what did we do? We told our daughters, oh, little girls do not behave like that. You sit quietly, you help others, you know, all of those various things. And so, yeah, we were conditioned that that was the way we were supposed to be.
And you know what? And I have a daughter too. And she told someone, a friend was asking her, hey, Scarlett, how are you? And she's like, I just won a chess championship and
I love it.
Good at chess. I'm really good. And I was, my husband and I looked at each other. We're so horrified. And later my husband said, Scarlett, when people ask you how you are, you should not say. And I thought to him, I was like, hold on, pause.
Right. Because if your son said it, it would have been fine.
She should say it. They should say it. They should own it. And here's the thing. We see this in the workplace. And yes, if you're with other people, some people will look at you and say, like, who do you think you are? You can counter this. And this is what the book offers. It says, okay, look, there is a double bind, damned if you do, damned if you don't, but here's how we overcome it. For this particular one, you want to toot your horn, but there are specific ways of how to do it so that people will be able to hear it and not hate you.
Right.
So here's one example, Deb. If you said, hey, how are you doing, Annalisa? I'd say, you know, I'm so proud of what my team has accomplished. We were a year behind schedule. And they handed it over to us and said, we're not only behind schedule, but we're over $1 million over budget. Can you fix it? And I've got to tell you, Deb, we worked this past 6 months. And not only did we get it to within budget, within schedule, but we're actually saving money for the company and we're delivering a superior product. And so I just want to say, hats off to the team. We really pulled it through a really clear strategy, milestones, and actually I'm just, yeah, I'm really proud of them. Now, what am I saying to you, Deb, by sharing this example?
So I'm going to push back a little bit with you on this because there was a lot of we in there.
Yes.
And that's great. And I do that too. And I'm pushing back because I do that. I'm always deflecting and saying, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of the team. I'm proud of what we do. Which is great. And I love doing that because, and especially if there are other women that were rising up, right? But somewhere in there, we need to get in. I am so proud of my team because it's, you know, I'm glad that I'm their, you know, it's kind of hard to figure out how to word this on the fly, but yeah, I'm proud that I am their leader because of this, because that gets the little brag back in for ourselves, but yeah. also talks about the fact that, you know, this is a fabulous team.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's absolutely smart. And I guess I was assuming that they knew that I was the leader of the team, but yeah.
You need to make sure that they know. See, that's the thing. Don't assume. Yeah.
You know, I'm proud that I was able to lead this team through this really, you know, tough challenge and we did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. We could definitely edit because we can't assume that everyone knows who the team leader is. And so let's own the team. Mm-hmm. You know, I lead this team. We were behind schedule when they gave it to me. Look at us. We did it. I'm happy. I'm proud that I led this. Yeah, nice. Right.
You know, and it's funny because we also kind of deflect the praise, right? And I have this fabulous business coach and she jumps on me when I do this. You know, she will say, "This was great. I'm so glad you did this." And I will, it was a team effort and all those things. And she's like, "No, you need to say thank you. Acknowledge that they gave you a great compliment." So, you know, when it would be, you know, "Hey, Annalisa, you had an absolutely fabulous project that you worked on," or the team, you know, "It was so great to see that the team did this. Thank you.
Thank you."
Then go on with, "It was a fabulous team. I am so happy that, you know," and sometimes "thank you" period is all you need to say, right? But it's really funny because we always do that, you know, and whether it's something as simple as, "Hey, that's a really nice shirt you're wearing. Oh, you know, I got it on sale." It's not, "Thank you." You know? And so, yeah, that's, and that really is something that I am working very hard on, is to accept that positive. And it can also be when they have a critique or a criticism, to own that also. You know, and I think that's the thing is, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, a couple words and then you go on.
I'm so glad you raised this because it is a struggle not just to toot our horns, but also accept compliments. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I want to build on that because I did an exercise that I thought was so powerful with other women leaders. And not only, this is to our safe space, right? It would be like you and me press each other. Though it's, if you gave me a compliment, I would then say, "Thank you." Mm-hmm. And it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird, right?
I love it.
Like, yeah, actually, it is true. I actually am a person who gets things done and can write books and can support leaders. Yeah, let's own it. So it was a beautiful example of just let's accept it, but actually own it. So I love the push.
I love it. And here's the thing. If you said the same thing to a guy, you know, they would go, "Well, yeah, of course, I'm such a great person." And you know, there's a book that I read, and oh gosh, I'm going to get the title wrong, and How to Think Like a Man but Win Like a Woman, I believe is the title. And it is about the fact that, you know, little boys brag about themselves. You know, we all know this happens, right? They accept the praise for something that they really didn't earn. You know, they're, you know, and all of these things, but it's, you know, okay, we recognize that in men, but then from a female perspective, how do we do that? You know, and it's exactly what you're talking about. It's, you know, how do we put all these things together to still be the fabulous, knowledgeable, intelligent, wonderful women that we are, and rising up, you know, and in your book, you talk, you know, I just said, you know, thank you can be, you know, short. There's an even better one. And you talk about this in your book, and that's no, right? No is a single sentence. And of course, you know, in your book, you're talking about the fact that somebody will say, "Annalisa, I know you're really busy, but I need you to take on this other project." Right. And rather than saying no, or even if we say no, we say, "Well, I can't do it at this time," but, you know, sometimes no really is the best thing that we can do.
No is a power move. It's a power saying, and it's a full sentence. And it feels uncomfortable because girl, Deb, if you said,
"Oh yeah,
move the time," and then you picked a time that was really hard for me, I don't want you to be disappointed, right? Mm-hmm. If I said no, then you would think, oh, then Annalise is not a nice mm-hmm. girl.
She's not a team player.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she's a B, right? Like, mm-hmm. she's just not my people. And I didn't want you to feel that way. So I'm like, okay, of course I'll make it move. I'll wake up early and, you know, just make it happen. Mm-hmm. And so we have to understand our conditioning, right? First, mm-hmm. Lift the hood mm-hmm. on why it's so uncomfortable to do mm-hmm. this thing that will help us mm-hmm. understand that. And then second, as that double bind, right? Mm-hmm. Damned if you don't, mm-hmm. figure out a way to say no mm-hmm. that is as palatable as mm-hmm. possible, but definitively no. Mm-hmm. So I want to offer one, and I'd love to hear yours as well. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm not able to do it given all that's on my plate. But thank you for so much for mm-hmm. offering this opportunity. Mm-hmm. I hope good luck with it. I'm sure you're gonna figure it out. So like it can be still a no, but mm-hmm. soft.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Thank you and mm-hmm. good luck. I know mm-hmm. you'll do it. So mm-hmm. what do you have any other?
Along the same lines. No, thank you for asking. But I have a suggestion for somebody who could.
Nice.
Because that way it's kind of a win-win, right? You're not only helping that, the person by suggesting somebody else. You're helping that other person by giving them a referral, and recommendation or whatever we want to do. And so it is kind of one of those things where, don't hesitate to say no or not raise your hand, right? I'm big on that. We need someone to, and I don't even listen to what it is they're saying. When I hear we need someone to, my hand goes up. Because it comes back to, like, I want to be liked. I want to be the team player. Maybe so, I don't even know how to do or want to do, right? Or don't have time to do. Sit on my hands. and it's so funny. And along those lines, one of the things I've also, and I had to have somebody lecture me about this, is, and I knew they meant it well, and I took it well, and I've been trying to practice this. It's okay to delegate. Right. And that's been one of the harder things for me, because not only am I wanting to please people, I also think I'm the only one who knows how to do it the right way. Right. When we say no, but here's another suggestion, solution, things like that, it's perfectly fine to delegate.
Absolutely. I mean, let's go back about and lift the hood up. Why mm-hmm. is it so hard to delegate? Mm-hmm. Right. One, we don't want to be an inconvenience, right? Deb, can you do mm-hmm. this task for me? I mean, mm-hmm. I need your help and I don't, but I'm going to inconvenience mm-hmm. you and you're mm-hmm. going to feel a certain way. You're not mm-hmm. going to like, so I don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons. Mm-hmm. A second is, oh no, not only is Deb not going to like me mm-hmm. because I'm giving her work, mm-hmm. but she's going to think I'm incompetent, mm-hmm. right? Like, why is she can't do it. Why? Mm-hmm. And I've got to do it. Mm-hmm. So that's a second reason I'm not going to want to do it. And then the third is that when I ask for help, actually, it is so much faster for me mm-hmm. to do it the way I want.
Right. Oh, yeah. If I have to tell somebody how to do it, I should just do it.
Yeah. Like, I need it to be done this way. And also, I need it to be like, I have control. Mm-hmm. And so let me just do it. Mm-hmm. And then I end up doing it forever. Mm-hmm. So these are the reasons why, right? In mm-hmm. general, there's other reasons mm-hmm. why people don't want to delegate. Mm-hmm. And yet, if you want to climb up to the C-suite, mm-hmm. you don't want your CEOs to be the one photocopying, right. figuring mm-hmm. out the research and all the, you want them to look forward, mm-hmm. be able to have capacity mm-hmm. to deal with the crisis, mm-hmm. to be able to build all the relationships, all of those things that, mm-hmm. he or she is uniquely positioned to do. And so if we don't let go, mm-hmm. if we don't delegate, mm-hmm. we actually hold ourselves back. And so I'm so glad you name it, because mm-hmm. that's yet another myth. Like, I have to be all things. Mm-hmm. I have to be the one. Right. It's all about the work. And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. You will hold yourself back and actually mm-hmm. create a reputation for yourself of someone right. who's lower skilled, mm-hmm. worthy of lower project.
Right. Right. Well, and it was so funny, because when this person was telling me I needed to delegate, it was a volunteer thing. And I lead the volunteer group. And then I have all these wonderful volunteers who work for me. And so the person tells me, you need to delegate. And then she said the most important thing. She said, you picked people who are smart and able to do it. Honor them by letting them do it.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just want to just double click on that one. There is the beauty of supporting the next bench, right? Mm-hmm. What is the best?
Oh, we have to.
People, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I was your trainee mm-hmm. and I watched you a podcast mm-hmm. and you said, I need to do all the things, Annalisa, mm-hmm. you can watch me, but I need to do all the things. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting trained, right? Mm-hmm. Actually, what would be a beautiful gift for you to give mm-hmm. me, Deb? Let me give you a chance at mm-hmm. accessing and working with our guests. Let me give you a chance right. at scripting something out. Let me give you a chance at maybe doing a podcast mm-hmm. yourself mm-hmm. and trying it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like a beautiful opportunity mm-hmm. for me to learn a skill, feel right. empowered, mm-hmm. and then now I'm able to do it on my own. So thank you for taking time. You have to see it this way of like right. leadership training mm-hmm. and supporting other people mm-hmm. behind us.
Right. And, you know, two things. First, they might very well do it better. So that's always fun. But more importantly, honor them by saying, Annalisa, that was great. I loved how you did that. You know, and it, because it comes back to what we were saying, you know, we don't always acknowledge those things. We assume they know that we're grateful. We assume, you know, all these things. Well, you know, we all know what the word assume means, right? So yeah, you know, when even if they did it a totally different way, did it get done? Yeah, you might need to fix some stuff, but yeah, tell them, oh my gosh, Annalisa, I am so glad that you did that because now you're learning how to do it on your own. It was funny because we were talking before the program about some of the stuff that we forget to do, and that's to acknowledge others. I mean, seriously, just saying thank you again in that totally different, you know, totally different context, but thanking somebody for what they did. Or, you know, we need to, you know, it's the thing, you know, when the boat rises, the whole boat rises. And so when we raise women up, we all are raised up. And sometimes it is just as something as simple as, Annalisa, I am so glad you did that. You did a fantastic job.
Absolutely. I love this point you said about then when the water rises, it lifts all of us up. Mm-hmm. And this is the work, right? It's mm-hmm. not just about ourselves mm-hmm. lifting ourselves up and ascending to mm-hmm. C-suite and CEO. Mm-hmm. It's about helping others, reaching back. And I want to mm-hmm. talk about this point because you and I also talked about this beforehand. The idea of helping others. Mm-hmm. Sometimes women have this reputation. We don't help each other. We're just catty and mm-hmm. just clawing our way. Mm-hmm. And that's not true that that's everybody. Mm-hmm. It's some people, but not everyone. And we have to help each other. But mm-hmm. why do you think, Deb, I'm curious for your thoughts, especially as a white woman, I'm a person of mm-hmm. women of color. Why do you think that sometimes we don't help each other?
I think sometimes we just forget, right? You know, it's just as simple as that. But I think there's also maybe some jealousy or the, oh, they're going to think that, you know, she's better at this than me. You know, when you were talking about being catty, it reminded me many years ago when I worked in a nonprofit. And let's be honest, nonprofits are pretty female oriented, especially at the non-management levels. You know, it's just, you know, I don't know if that's because we like to help people, all these things. But yeah, so I worked for this organization and most of the employees were women. And they had this thing, and I was mortified when they did this. If you had been particularly catty in a meeting or something, you would go back to your office and you would find a box of Meow Mix. Right? Now, now you can do that now. This was like 30 years ago. Now you get HR would be notified, right? But, you know, it was one of those things. So instead of maybe helping that person to say, you know, let's talk about how you might have worded that differently or something like that. It was just, oh my God, this was horrible. You were such a, you know, but a box of Meow Mix, really? But yeah, you know, it's, we need to understand when we help other women, we're helping ourselves. So it's okay to give them compliments and to tell them that they did a great job. And, you know, and we just all need to keep that in our minds. You know, whether we're telling the whole world, oh my God, Annalisa just did this fabulous thing, or just telling you, we have got to be always thinking, how can we do this? How can we help other women?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because there's a sense of, like you said, competition. Mm-hmm. Well, Deb, she thinks she's all that. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be better than me. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that. And so there's this strange fear. Mm-hmm. And I do think that if we switch to instead from scarcity to abundance, mm-hmm. imagine what's possible. Right. Actually, if Deb gets this opportunity, mm-hmm. that's actually good for me because right. then I ask Deb, maybe she can connect me. Mm-hmm. She can help me. And like that book title that you said, Think Like Men and Win Like Women. Mm-hmm. I think there's a piece of how men do it in general for networking. Mm-hmm. It is I know Deb and now I can ask Deb for a favor, right? Mm-hmm. For women, it's like, I know Deb, I don't want to ask her for a favor because then she's not going to like me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Actually, we do it more like men where I can ask Deb and can I say, Deb, can you help me? Mm-hmm. And hopefully then you'll say, okay, let me try to help you because mm-hmm. the more I help you, mm-hmm. the more you'll help me mm-hmm. and then we can lift each other up. And so mm-hmm. I do think there's something about mm-hmm. that practice for men that we can take on. And say we can operate both mm-hmm. at relational level as friends, as people who want to like each other genuinely, mm-hmm. and as people who can mm-hmm. ask things and make right. transactions mm-hmm. and do deals and not feel like, oh, well, I'm trying to take advantage. I'm actually saying we can be both. Mm-hmm. We can be transactional and mm-hmm. relational, right. all of it at once.
Mm-hmm. Right. And yeah, when we are rising others up, it's not an issue, you know, back to women's basketball, you know, Caitlin Clark. Now, I'm not a huge Caitlin Clark fan, but maybe that's because she beat my Buffs. You know, what I liked about her was when they would say, now, you know, she would acknowledge when they would say, you did such wonderful things. But then she almost always would say, this is a team sport. Now, I don't know what's going to happen next year when Iowa doesn't have her, but yeah, you know, it was, she would do that. She would say, you know, this is, I could not do what I do without all of these other women. You know, and she's very true. I mean, you know, it's, you know, now, you know, basketball is a team sport. You know, there's five people out there. You know, there are individual sports, but when you hear, say, a tennis player talking about something, they're going to talk about their coaches, you know, all the other support. They all know that we are not in this little box and, you know, and we don't do it alone. But yeah, I always like that Caitlin acknowledged the fact that it is a team sport. But she thanked them. She acknowledged that, you know, that yeah, she's made, scored more than anybody, right? And all sorts of things, because it's true. And I think that's the other thing is, sometimes we think, well, you know, it's true, so I don't need to acknowledge it. No, she would say, yeah, mm-hmm, I did that. You know, and sometimes it came across not quite the way you might want. But, you know, it was, I loved it. And again, I loved all this conversation that it has started with what women can do. You know, and that's, to me, that's been one of the greatest things about all of this.
Absolutely. We can own it. Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. And I'm also grateful to the people mm-hmm. who supported me, Clip Your Team. We can balance it. That's the thing is you mm-hmm. own it mm-hmm. and then make sure we also mm-hmm. don't soften ourselves, but like allow it to mm-hmm. be something received mm-hmm. and balance the double bind. Right. So good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, oh my gosh, Annalisa, we've only got about 5 minutes left and we still have so much to talk about. So I just definitely have to have you on again. But now here's my big question is, as a white woman, what do I need to do to help more women of color be successful?
Thank you so much for that question, Deb. First, because it is what we need to do is support each other. Second, it acknowledges privilege as a white woman supporting a woman of color. There's an acknowledgement that you have access to things that I might not have access to. So thank you for the question and the support. Here's what I would say. Is this direct question is first and foremost the most important thing. The second part is there might be things that the person you're trying to support with might not know they need. So the most important thing that I've experienced with people when they ask is access. Access perhaps specifically to social capital. Mm-hmm. People in your network who I likely don't have connections with. So people who have done this for me have said, I have a senior leader that in the field that you're looking to enter. I have a connection to the hiring manager. I have a connection to the sponsor. Mm-hmm. I have a connection to a board member. I mean, people that I wouldn't even think to ask. They open their, back in the day, the Rolodex, their LinkedIn,
right,
for access introductions. And when they do these personal introductions, that is how I'm able to get in the room and to be considered. So right. Social capital. The second thing mm-hmm. I would say is when there are times people ask you to say, do you know someone who could lead this project, who mm-hmm. could get this role, who could be promoted? That's when you name the person mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. because otherwise they wouldn't even think right. about this mm-hmm. Meet. And so mm-hmm. name mm-hmm. the name. And the third thing I would offer is provide feedback. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people say, oh shoot, if I provide feedback, she might be too sensitive. She can't handle it. Mm-hmm. But if I'm showing up and I'm, you know, my head down, I can't, mm-hmm. you can't hear my voice. I'm not raising my hand. Mm-hmm. Who else is going to tell me to say, sit up, mm-hmm. make sure you project, mm-hmm. raise your hand,
right?
Allow yourself to be mm-hmm. intimidated, give the feedback, because mm-hmm. that's how I'm going to grow. So I would say mm-hmm. those three things really, really help.
Right. Well, and you're doing it from a position of wanting to help them. You know, we all remember, you know, mom saying, sit up straight. No, you know, but if I were to say, you know, Annalisa, I've noticed something and I'm saying this because I care, right? Then it's going to be taken totally different. You know, it's, oh my gosh, like I said, you know, this has been such a fun conversation. We really have just scratched the surface on this because I think it is so important. And, you know, like one of the things that I was thinking about was, when you talk in your book about the importance of networking. And I was also thinking in a different way that I need to expand my network and be very conscious of expanding my network to make sure that I have so many women of color in there. Because, right, we're all in this together. I shared with you before the program that you have such fabulous examples of women in your book and they're telling their story. And there's not tons, but I need to go to each one of those and send them a request to connect on LinkedIn and just tell them, you know, I read your story in Annalisa's book and I would love to connect with you. Not all of them will connect. I mean, you know, not everybody does LinkedIn, all sorts of things, but we all need to consciously be thinking, how can we expand our networks to include more women of color? Women in general, right? But how many, you know, how many more women of color? We just need to keep doing it because it's like the, you know, like DEI, right? The more diverse things are, the better we will be. So I need to make sure that my personal networks are as diverse as they can be.
Beautiful. I love that action step, Deb.
Cool. I love it. So Annalisa, this has been absolutely fabulous. And I want people to know, how can they reach you and connect with you? And what are the services that you provide?
So as you shared, Deb, I'm an executive coach. And so I support leaders and firms with how to have more impact at work and in our organizational results. You can find me on AnnalisaWolf.com, A-N-A-L-I-Z-A, Wolf, W-O-L-F.com. You can also find me on Instagram, Annalisa Wolf, Facebook, Woman of Color Rise, LinkedIn. And if you can have any of these services or would be interested, you can reach out to my email, Annalisa@AnnalisaWolf.com, as well as this book, The Myths of Success, A Woman of Color's Guide to Leadership.
Perfect. I love it. Well, this has been absolutely fabulous. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
This conversation really brings in that point that we need to help each other. We are more powerful as a village, women helping other women. So when we can rise, we can also lift, reach back and lift each other up. So my whole point is let's help each other. Let's network. Let's ask for things. Let's help support and receive and grant those requests. And together we are stronger.
Oh my gosh. Such fun. And I cannot wait to have you on again. I'm Deb Creer. I've been talking with Annalisa Keyrose Wolf. She is the CEO of Women of Color Rise. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.